such a joy to be with you. We just arrived in the U.S. on Friday. We had two Fridays this week, so it's great to be here and to be with our church family. We do appreciate so much your encouragement in our ministry for 26 years now in New Zealand, and you have an open invitation to come and see what the Lord is doing whenever you're able to come. Pastor Stan asked maybe if we could link together the Lord's table with missions today. So I'd like to try to do that with you this morning. It truly is the highlight, isn't it, of our Christian faith to celebrate the Lord's table together and to enjoy the communion of the saints. And someday we'll do this all in glory with our Lord. And we look forward to that. One of the ways I guess I could link this together with missions is a statement that a colleague of mine, Pink Davis, and some of you might have met Pink, he's working in New Zealand, and he came to this church and introduced his ministry. Pink has at the bottom of his correspondence, "Going that others may worship." And that ties it together really well. Communion is the high point of our worship in our Christian faith. And we want to go to the various fields. You have a mission field right here. And we want to go and we want to reach others who will become worshipers of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that God is seeking such to worship Him. In John chapter 4, Jesus says that the time is coming and now is when those who worship God will worship Him in spirit and in truth, for such the Father is pleased. The Father is seeking such. That's neat to think that God is seeking for worshipers. And you and I who know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior have the great privilege of being a part of that congregation.
Just keep preaching.
All right, I'll keep going. I just wanted to give you an illustration of a missionary of a bygone era, John Patton. John Patton was a missionary to Vanuatu. It was known as New Hebrides in those days. John Patton grew up in Scotland in a three-room cottage with his parents and 10 other children. The sound of his father's prayers made a powerful impression on young John. He responded to an appeal by the Scottish Reformed Church for missionaries to go to the South Pacific Islands. When he asked his parents for their advice, they told him that he had been dedicated to foreign missions before he was born. In November 1858, he worked in continual danger amongst the cannibals. He says, quote, "They encircled us in a deadly ring, and one kept urging the others to strike the first blow. My heart rose up to the Lord Jesus. I saw Him watching all the scene. My peace came back to me like a wave from God. I realized that my life was immortal till my master's work with me was done." The turning point came when Patton decided to dig a well to provide fresh water for the people. The islanders, terrified at bringing, quote, rain from below, watched in deepest foreboding. Patton dug deeper and deeper until finally at 30 feet he tapped in to a stream of water. Opposition to the mission work ceased, and the wide-eyed islanders gave him their full respect. The chief, Mamukai, accepted Christ as Savior. Then a few others made the daring step. On 24 October 1869, nearly 11 years after his arrival, he led his first communion service. 12 converted cannibals partook of the Lord's Supper. Quote, he says, "As I put the bread and wine into those hands once stained with the blood of cannibalism, now stretched out to receive and partake the emblems of the Redeemer's love, I had a foretaste of the joy of the glory that well nigh broke my heart to pieces." And as we partake of the Lord's table, we can examine in our own lives and those that we're seeking to pray for, that they will come to become worshipers of Jesus Christ. Once were some of us. I don't know if any of you used to be cannibals. I've never been a cannibal in the technical sense. I've never been exposed to a cannibal as far as I know. Although we're working with people who were former cannibals, the Maori people. And they were fierce in the South Pacific and they did eat people. But we are not any cleaner than they are. The scriptures tell us, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6:9, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified through Jesus Christ. That's the hope. That's the blessed message of the gospel. Such were some of us. We were all just as defiled as those cannibals. But the grace of God had an impact on our lives, and we were redeemed. The Lord gave us two ordinances, baptism and the Lord's table. Baptism is to be exercised one time to express our union with Jesus Christ. The Lord's table is to be done regularly to express our communion with the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a living relationship with the living God. If you'd open your Bibles with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we'll be looking at verses 17 to 34, and I'd like to just bring out six words concerning the Lord's table as the Apostle Paul gives us instruction on what this particular ordinance is all about. And we're going to end with condemnation, unfortunately, but Pastor Stan said, how will I know when to cue the choir? And I said, it'll be with condemnation. So that'll be our last point. First point is unification. In verses 17 to 22, Paul says, now in giving these instructions, I do not praise you, since you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and in part I believe it, for there must also be factions among you, that those who are approved may be recognized among you. Therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others, and one is hungry and another is drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you. Unification is God's desire for His church. Remember Jesus praying in the garden the night before His crucifixion, and He said, Father, I pray that they may be one as we are one. Someone has said, the Lord answers my prayer. I would like to be a part of answering His prayer. The Lord wants us to dwell together in unity. Maybe you have a problem with a brother or sister in this congregation. I would suggest that you forgive them in your heart right now and plan to go to them and ask for forgiveness. Ask for healing. Even if you're only 5% of the problem, go and admit your faults, so that you can bring reconciliation with your brother or your sister. Because this is what our Heavenly Father desires. He wants us to be at peace. And in fact, this is the greatest testimony before the world. Jesus says, by this all men will know you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. This is the greatest apologetic of the Christian faith, is when God's people truly care and love one another. So the Lord prays for unity. Psalm 133 says, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And so we need to humble ourselves. Our pride can get in the way. We can hold offenses. We cannot want to forgive someone. We need to humble ourselves so that we will forgive our brother or our sister and go to them and seek reconciliation, even if they're 95% wrong. God desires this, and this is essential when we gather together at the Lord's table. As we examine ourselves, let's examine, am I seeking to maintain the unity? We don't create the unity. The Holy Spirit creates the unity. We just have to maintain it. Jesus prayed for our unity. The Holy Spirit The Holy Spirit creates our unity, and we are to maintain the unity of the faith. Second point here is in verses 23 and to 25. It is the word commemoration. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Those words are very special to us as believers. In remembrance of me. It's very personal, isn't it? Our Lord knows how forgetful we can be, and so he placed this ordinance in his church so that we will regularly come together to remember that great sacrifice on Calvary, that we would give honor and glory to our Lord and praise to him for all that he did to obtain our salvation, to commemorate in remembrance of me. Christianity is not a religion. It's a relationship, isn't it? I've spoken to people and they say, I don't want to hear about religion. And I say, well, I don't either. I don't want to talk about religion. And they smile and agree. And I said, I'm not here to talk about religion. I want to talk about a relationship. Life is relationship. And you can have a relationship with the greatest person in the whole universe, the God that created you. Would you like that? That's a whole different thing than talking about rules and regulations and forms and everything else, isn't it, when we talk about relationships. In remembrance of me. In New Zealand, we have on April the 25th every year a day called Anzac Day. Our Australia, New Zealand Army Corps. And every year on April 25th, 6 a.m., the parades begin and people come out and they remember those who have fallen in battle. Those who survived the battles. It's a time to remember the wars that were fought. And at the slogan behind it is, lest we forget. Lest we forget. Our Lord wants us to continually be reminded of what he has done for us. In eternity, in heaven, we will always be reminded by those scars, permanent scars in his hands and his side, that will always remind us visibly of his sacrifice on Calvary. The third word I'd like you to see is the word proclamation in verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death. It is a proclamation. As we gather together to celebrate the Lord's table, and as God's people gather together all over the world to partake of the Lord's table, a proclamation is being made, and it is a proclamation of his death. What is so significant about his death? Obviously, that it's unique. He did not die because of his own sins like you and I do. His death was a substitutionary death. His death was on behalf of the whole world. It is a unique death. And it is one that we gather together, and even though you may not speak a word during this service, by partaking of this supper, you are proclaiming the Lord's death. And it is an aspect of this worship that we commemorate. Also, another word is the word anticipation. Just the last phrase of verse 26, until he comes. It's a word of anticipation. Every time we partake of the Lord's table, we also are to look forward to the day that he comes. And it could be today, couldn't it? It could be today. The Lord Jesus says, if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Jesus, when he partook of the Last Supper with his disciples, he said, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the day that I drink it with you in my Father's kingdom. Wow. One day we're going to sit down with him and partake of the Lord's table. And he's going to be our host. And until then, he's our observer. He's observing. He's watching as we worship him and celebrating the fantastic Savior that he is. And as we anticipate his coming. And as we live in light of the return of Jesus Christ. That one truth will revolutionize our Christian lives. To live in light of eternity. To not get tied down to this world, but to be like Abraham who lived in tents and wandered about. We don't want to get so tied down to this earth that we forget that he's coming. And he could come today. And all these things that we care about and all these things that we worry about are going to be gone. And they're not going to matter anymore. The only thing that's going to matter is the people that you've invested in. Those are the things you can take with you into eternity. The lives of people who need the gospel. The fifth word is the word examination. And it's in verses 27 and 28. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. He who eats... examination. And the Lord invites us to examine ourselves during the Lord's table. It is a time not to think about anybody else, not to worry about what somebody else has done. It's a time for self-focus. It's a time for self-examination and to see if there be any wicked way in me. The song, Search Me, O God, you sing that here sometimes? It's got a Maori melody. It was written, I think, in the late 1920s at a camp where we have our Easter camp every year, or we used to. We can't book it now anymore because we don't have enough people to get it, but it's in Narawahia. And there was a special speaker from America, an evangelist, and he wrote this song, and it was put to the tune of a Maori melody. Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior. See if there be any wicked way in me. Purge me. I probably got that all twisted up, but if I sang it, it would go easier. We are to examine ourselves and to have a good look at ourselves in light of the Lord's coming. A sixth word is the word condemnation, verses 29 to verse 34. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we would not be condemned with the world. Therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. But if anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, lest you come together for judgment. And the rest I will set in order when I come. This condemnation, of course, is not the same condemnation as the world is going to receive, as it says right here. But if we do not take this soberly, and if we do not take this with introspection and proper humility and sobriety, the Lord says we will be chastened. Some were sick, some had even died because they had not followed this in practicing the Lord's table. It's a very serious thing. We are in the Holy of Holies as we partake of this. And the Lord wants to remind us that it is not something to be treated lightly. It's not something to be neglected. It is something to take very seriously, lest we fall into such chastening of the Lord. So with those thoughts in mind, I want to turn it over now. Not turn it over, but I want to enjoy this special time with you. And I just want to pray, and then we'll distribute the bread and then the cup. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we do set aside all of our interests right now to focus on the most important aspect of our faith, the death and burial and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we are humbled when we realize that you cared about us so much that you gave your only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Lord, we want to humbly thank you. Help us, Lord, to honestly deal with our thoughts and our intents and our motives. And help us, Lord, to properly examine ourselves as we consider, Lord, what you have done on our behalf, so that we might dwell together in unity as we together look forward to the coming of our Lord. In Jesus' precious name we pray.
This message has been brought to you by the Santa Rosa Bible Church. Our purpose is to lift up the Lord by living out the Word, loving one another, and leading others to Christ. Be sure to visit us on the web at www.srbible.org or come visit us in person at 4575 Badger Road, Santa Rosa, California, 95409. You can also give us a call at 707-538-2385.